I run the Florida Family Policy Council. We're one of 38 state-based organizations around the country. So in many states, there are one. We're associated with Focus on the Family, founded by Dr. Dobson, now run by Jim Daly. Our issues are life, marriage, family, and religious liberty. Those are the things that we cover. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about my story and tell you about what we do and then close it out for you. So I was born an hour and a half from here in Halifax Hospital in Daytona Beach, Florida. I was the oldest of five kids. My father was a professor at Mary Carroll School of Applied Sciences, which then became Daytona Beach Junior College and Community College, and now Daytona College. My mother was a professional opera singer. She sang Italian opera. So I can curse fluently in Italian, but that's about it. I, as a young person, as a teenager, was just a punk. I had long hair and a ponytail. All I cared about was skateboarding and skating, roller skating, and frisbee. That was my whole life, and just whatever I wanted to do. And so my father, as we got older, was sick. He smoked vigorously and had several heart attacks. And so by the time I'm 16, Dad being in the hospital was kind of like, okay, so what? And so when I'm 15, just about to turn 16, about this time of year, Dad was in the hospital again, had a heart attack, and Mom said to us five kids, we're going to visit Dad. And I said, I don't want to go. She said, you're going. And so I went under protest, took a frisbee with me, went up to his room. I remember distinctly, you know, kind of spinning the frisbee in the corner. All the other kids are with him, talking with him, you know, kind of interacting. And so about an hour later, okay, it's time to go. We go down the elevator. I realize I left my frisbee. So I go back up. I go in my dad's room. I grab the frisbee. I look him directly in the eyes. I didn't say a word, and I walked out. That was the last time I would ever see my father again. One of the greatest regrets of my entire life. Because the next day, I was at the skating rink, I come home, and I'll never forget my sister Valerie called me and said, John, Dad's dead. And I said, Dad doesn't die. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He doesn't die. And so what's interesting is that the most tragic and the most profoundly difficult situation in a 15-year-old boy's life is the very situation which would transform him in a moment of time and refocus his entire life. So it's very strange to me that, wow, that's a very painful thing. It's also a thing that I'm grateful for because God used it to fundamentally turn the direction of my entire life. And I find that very interesting that God can use suffering and he can use difficulty for his glory and to direct us. So at this point, I just began to understand the brevity of life. I began to think, what is life about? Is God real? And I just began to become incredibly focused on serious-minded thinking about my life and the world. And so it took me about 3 years to become a Christian. I went kicking and screaming. I had all these questions. We were in a church that was very Pentecostal, and they had a lot to say, and I had a lot of questions, and they didn't have a lot of answers for me. So my mother was actually in the Catholic Church, and so she shipped us from the Catholic Church to an Assembly of God church. And so, again, I just had all these questions, and so I came kicking and screaming, trying to find answers to my questions. So as my faith is growing, I remember the state attorney in Daytona was a guy named John Tanner. He actually counseled Ted Bundy. I heard that he had read a book called More Than a Carpenter. So I got this book, More Than a Carpenter, by Josh McDowell, and read it, and it just completely stripped all the excuses that I had over the years about, you know, all these things. And it was like, wow, I could suddenly see clearly now the cross. I had no more excuses. And it was like, okay, you're going to either give yourself or you're going to play a plastic Jesus game, or you're just going to walk away knowing this is true now. So as my faith grew, I had this sense that I'm supposed to do something in the world for God. Not in the church, but I'm supposed to do something in the world, and I had no reference point for it whatsoever. I remember my father dying and looking in his wallet, and it said registered Republican. And I said, that's cool. What is that? I voted for Jimmy Carter in 1980. It was the first time I could vote. I thought Ronald Reagan would blow up the world. I remember asking my roommate at age 20, what's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican? So just give you the vantage point. In my house, literally, we never talked about politics. And what we did talk about is you don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion, and you sure you don't talk about politics and religion. There's a certain irony of that now to my life, because that's all I talk about. But what's weird is that as my faith grows, I just this sense I'm supposed to do something bigger grows as well, but I have no reference point for it. And so, long story short, I was working for a guy named Reed Hughes. He owned a huge petroleum oil company in Daytona Beach at the time. Millionaire guy, he's running for Congress, and he's a Democrat. He's with very liberal Democrats, and so I just began to search on my own. Because you know, this is at a time where you had Jerry Falwell and you had Jesse Jackson, you had Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, all speaking for God yet saying different things. Now, I knew that both of them could be wrong. I knew that one of them could be right, but I knew they both couldn't be right at the same time, just because of the law of non-contradiction.